Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 9:30 in 716.
On edge in the Buffalo Fruit Belt neighborhood following two street violent shootings outside the same address.
We are seeing people come forward. We are receiving tips. And people have to look at a homicide case like a jigsaw puzzle.
The vast majority of the gun-related shootings and homicides have to do with some type of gang-slash-drug activity.
Crime Stoppers has been built from the beginning on being anonymous if you want to remain anonymous. We don't trace numbers.
I'm Tim Wenger on 930 and 716, powered by the Brothers of Mercy, a five-star rated skilled nursing residence offering affordable living in a country setting. On July 2nd, Yvette Johnson and her 17-month-old grandson, Kyrie, were killed outside their home on Grape Street. Just this past Thursday, another shooting saw two men who did not suffer life-threatening injuries shot in the same location. It has a neighborhood and Buffalo on edge, and law enforcement is responding with increased patrols and an increased ask for help from the public.
You know, we haven't made an arrest in either one of those shootings at this point that we're disclosing.
Captain Jeffrey Rinaldo with Buffalo Police on with Susan Rose and Brian Mazurowski first thing Monday morning.
We have made extremely good progress in the first case. As we know, where the tragedy with the grandmother and the little baby died. But again, you know, we can't stress enough the need and way that we have to have the public come forward in these investigations. As you saw last week, Friday, the mayor, our deputy police commissioner, they walked the streets, they met with neighbors for almost 2 hours, they talked with people, and we are vested in these cases. The public needs to understand the amount of energy and the hearts and souls of our detectives that go into solving these crimes. And, you know, again, we are seeing that. We are seeing people come forward. We are receiving tips, and people have to look at a homicide case like a jigsaw puzzle. Every little piece helps put together the big picture for us.
Did you find that you were getting more people coming forward from that neighborhood or just from elsewhere in the city after the second shooting took place?
Well, again, anytime you see a repeat amount of violence, people do. They have enough. People finally come forward. People say, you know what, I can't stand by and watch this anymore. So unfortunately, when you see a second event in a close proximity to where a huge tragedy like that occurred, it does. It makes people step up and say, you know, enough's enough. I can't sit by and watch this anymore.
Captain, are there security cameras in that neighborhood?
There are. I mean, there's Safe Cam Project cameras in that area as well as city cameras. And again, you know, cameras are extremely helpful. You know, a picture tells a thousand words, and it helps us to put together kind of what the incident is. A lot of times in a lot of crimes, not just homicides, but the cameras might only catch person walking into an area, somebody walking out of an area, might not catch the actual crime itself. But again, it's that jigsaw puzzle concept. It's just another piece that helps us put together the whole picture.
There was a lot of shock when we were reporting last Friday morning about a second shooting outside that same home on Grape Street. Can you remember maybe a more brazen act than that? To go back to that same home, so much attention placed on that first shooting, and commit another crime like that, another shooting. Can you remember anything like that happening in recent memory?
You know, I can't in recent memory, as I think, you know, we've said before in this case, this was a very targeted event from the first incident to now this one. And unfortunately, it's causing a lot of concern in that neighborhood. But again, it's not a random act of violence. We are very strongly convinced that all of this was targeted violence. And it's something that, you know, you have to as a community, you have to stand up and you have to trust that we are going to do everything we can to help put these people in jail and make sure that people are safe. We know there's a lot of concern about cooperating with the police, but as Deputy Grimalia said, that's why we have a confidential tip line. If you call in information and do not wish to be contacted, we will not contact you. We do not trace that phone number. It is confidential, and it's information that we use to help put together that big picture.
You know, you were talking about this targeted violence. How much of the problem is gang-related?
Unfortunately, a lot of it is gang-related. You know, you have a lot of factions of the city that are battling over controlling either drug trade or just territory, and unfortunately that turns into violence, and that violence spills out onto the streets.
And that being gang-related, is that maybe one of the reasons why you're finding it difficult in some cases to get support from the community because they're worried about what might happen after they say something?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think that there is a concern from the community, and it's understood that, you know, they have safety concerns. They live in the neighborhoods where this activity takes place. But also, I think a part of it, too, is that a lot of that activity doesn't necessarily happen in the public eye. It happens amongst gang members, and it happens in areas where only they operate or they happen to be. And, again, there's no incentive for gang members to come forward and cooperate with the police. Usually where you see cooperation from them is either, number one, where they realize that they are now a target marked to be killed, and their only hope is to come in and talk with the police, and or, you know, you see people that decide to cooperate with the police for other reasons.
Captain, how would you describe police relations with the African-American community?
Well, again, every community has some challenges with that. I know here in Buffalo, I think we have good relations with our African-American community. We work tirelessly with all kinds of community groups and neighborhood watch clubs. And, you know, again, if people have distrust, if people have issues, we have community meetings every single month in every single district. If there's issues, you have to come forward and bring those issues to us. You have to talk about if there's a problem, if there's a lack of trust, if there's a reason that you're unhappy with your police service. You know, we can only change, we can only improve upon issues that we're aware of. And if we're not aware of them, you can't hold us to the fact that you're not happy with the service that you receive from the police.
The uptick in street violence has those who help fight crime looking for the public to help more. And organizations like Crime Stoppers are key.
We're a community organization. It's been around since 1990.
Crime Stoppers, Kevin Hoffman.
We work with all law enforcement agencies. Our partners, you know, are all the West New York law enforcement agencies. But we are a community organization. We're not run by any local police department or that. And basically, we are a venue for the public to reach out and give tips on crimes if they are want to remain anonymous or if they're not comfortable for whatever reason to go directly to the police. I will say that we always encourage the public to first go to the police with any tips that they have if they feel that they want to do that. If they don't, we are a venue for that.
We were just talking a few minutes ago with Captain Jeff Rinaldo of Buffalo Police, who was talking about their confidential tip line that police have, and the fact he says if you want to be confidential, you'll be confidential. We don't trace phone numbers. Does Crime Stoppers work in a similar way?
Yeah, Crime Stoppers has been built from the beginning on being anonymous if you want to remain anonymous. We don't trace numbers. We have a new app that we've just recently started, and everything is done in confidence. It doesn't mean that the people at some point may not want to give their information. If they do, that's up to them. But we work off a number system. If they give a tip that leads to an arrest or an indictment, we only know them as a number, and that number is used for them to whenever the reward, if there is one, is going to be paid out. And they go to a location, they give the number, and they get their reward.
Now, how important is that? I think so much attention is placed on that reward, but the anonymity of it has to be the number one thing that helps you guys out.
Well, yeah, it helps us out, and it helps them out too sometimes. I mean, the challenge is, depending on the crimes that are involved, and especially the ones of a more violent nature, a lot of times people just aren't comfortable coming forward with their information. And that's why the confidentiality, whether through a police department or through Crime Stoppers, is so important. to give them that comfort level to be able to give forward the information that helps with the investigations.
You know, a lot of people wonder, where do you get the money to post these rewards?
Well, we are probably about 90% privately funded through fundraisers that we've done over the years that we continue to do. And more recently, we've been getting some money from some of the public, police department, the DA, the sheriff's department. The city of Buffalo for the last 4 or 5 years has put up an asset forfeiture fund to assist with the rewards that we give out regarding homicides. The DA has put up $25,000 to help us with an opiate initiative that we started in March. And more recently, the sheriff's department has put up over $10,000 to help us generate and put together a new tip for Crime Stoppers Buffalo Tips.
We're joined live in studio by Kevin Hoffman of Crime Stoppers of Buffalo, talking about recent violence in the city and Crime Stoppers' role in helping to solve some of these crimes. Kevin, interested in your involvement in Crime Stoppers, some of your history. How did you start in Crime Stoppers and what were you doing before that?
Well, I got involved in Crime Stoppers about 7 or 8 years ago. I was a police officer for 27 years, retired from Amherst, New York Police. And then I worked for a while down at the Drug Enforcement Administration, and then also more recently down at the Erie Crime Analysis Center, Buffalo Police Headquarters.
So a long history in law enforcement. And in that, I'm sure you've seen the need for this Crime Stoppers program.
Yeah, you know, it's a good program. It's the public wanting to help in some way law enforcement. I mean, our board is probably about half retired law enforcement and about half from all different facets of the community. And everybody just wants to give back and help out if they can in some way. Nobody's trying to take away from the police or anything. We want to help the police, and just if we can get some information, one piece that leads to that piece that allows for the arrest to be made, it's all good.
Now, this is a national program too, isn't it?
It is. There's actually, well, it's international now. There's over 1,200 Crime Stoppers throughout like 25 countries. But in the U.S. alone, there's probably at least 600 of them. It's been around since 1976, in the country, and in Buffalo since 1990.
You mentioned not taking away from police, but helping them. It's got to be, and speaking from experience for yourself as a police officer, it's got to be nice because police can't be everywhere all the time, to have as many eyes as they can wherever, all across the city and community.
Right, exactly. It's that whole see something, say something. I mean, the public is out there. The police are doing their patrol. They're doing the work day in and day out. But there are numerous times when the public's going to see something that the police don't. They may call the police department. They may use our venue to get the information to us. Once it comes to us, it gets forwarded to whatever the police department of jurisdiction is for that particular type.
Maybe people feel more comfortable calling Crime Stoppers than they would a police department?
Sometimes. You know, I can't speak for everyone, obviously. I mean, in my case, I would be more comfortable calling directly to a police department, but in some communities, they may not be that comfortable, and this just gives them another venue to do that, and the information still gets to the right source.
Our in-studio guest, Kevin Hoffman of Crime Stoppers, and we've been talking about the different ways for people to contact, whether it's police or Crime Stoppers, to provide information, and there's a new way to contact Crime Stoppers through an app, right?
Yes, there is. We just recently, starting back in March, we started a new opiate initiative to try to help with the opiate epidemic as we could. And since then, our tip volume has gone up dramatically. So we decided to put together a Crime Stoppers app, because everybody seems to be using apps, to more efficiently take the tips in, to give the people that want to give the tips basically the information that an investigator may be asking them on the information that they're willing to provide. It kind of gives them the opportunity to look at it first, to see the type of questions and fill in what they can, and then send directly to us through the app.
Yeah, how does the app work when you want to stay anonymous?
Well, the app works anonymous because basically everybody is given a number when they submit a tip. We don't get any names. We don't get any phone numbers. They just get a number that they can follow up on to look back on the tip. And if and when it leads to an arrest or an indictment, then that tip number is going to be used for them to collect the reward that was given out in the particular case.
At the Erie County District Attorney's Office, DA John Flynn is watching closely and is concerned.
It's very disturbing, but I think that the public should understand, while again, I don't want to specifically comment on what our investigation has revealed so far, because like I said, it's ongoing, that, you know, these are not, again, probably, like I said, not a coincidence here. You have a situation here where, as you're seeing, throughout the city of Buffalo, the vast majority of the gun-related shootings and homicides have to do with some type of gang/drug activity. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying that this one on Grave Street does, all right? Would I be surprised if it did? Absolutely not. But I can tell you in general, the vast majority of the crimes and shooting crimes specifically that are occurring here in the city of Buffalo are gang/drug related. And the Buffalo Police Department is doing a great job to try to minimize these incidents. We are, I got the numbers here from the State Criminal Justice Division here in front of me right now. And individuals killed by firearms are actually down from last year, believe it or not. Now these numbers are up and through June of 2018. The number of shooting incidents is ironically exactly the same as it was last year. There were 97 shooting incidents in the same time period last year from January through the end of June. There's 97 this year from January through the end of June. So the numbers haven't gone up at all, really, for shooting incidents. And actually, the numbers have gone down for those killed by firearms from last year. So the Buffalo Police Department, I believe, is doing a great job, getting out there, trying to stem this violence. But we need help. We need members of the community who see something, who know something, to contact us.
Back tomorrow.
That's 9:30 in 716. We're back tomorrow with another edition from the studios of WBEN Buffalo.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.